Good morning. It's good to be with you, whether you're joining us from home or you're here in the building today. I want to start with a very much a true story. And I came across this, which really got to me this week. The man on the left, as you look at that, is Pastor Ryan Boys. He's from New Jersey in America. And he was watching a movie. He was watching Avengers Infinity War. Don't know if any of you have watched that. He was watching it in a local cinema. At one point in the film, there's a misunderstanding which takes place between two lots of good guys. There's this tense standoff, and the following interaction takes place. Have a listen.
Oh yeah, you don't want to tell me where she is? That's fine, I'll kill all three of you and I'll beat it out of Thanos myself. Starting with you.
Alright, let me ask you this one time. What master do you serve? What master do I serve? What am I supposed to say, Jesus?
What master do you serve? What am I supposed to say, Jesus? In the cinema, it caused apparently great amusement. There was laughter, which rippled out around the New Jersey cinema. Pastor Ryan was left thinking, whoa. And he reflected on it, and then he wrote the following in a blog. He said this: for our culture, the idea of Jesus being our Lord is appropriate for a punchline in a superhero movie, but not for serious conversation. Yet the entire joke is based on the premise that Christians believe that Jesus is Lord, and that deep down, people actually get that Jesus claims to be our master. It's a real sobering thing. It caused amusement in the cinema, but the fact was it only caused amusement because they understood the repercussions, that indeed Christians have always claimed that Jesus is Lord and Master. And Jesus was definitely Lord and Master for the centurion in our gospel reading. And I want to explore about him first, then we'll get to stewardship. Who was the centurion? Well, who was a centurion, full stop? Centurions were middle-ranking officers, and this one was based in Capernaum. He would most likely have received regular orders from his commander, and from where he was, his commander was most likely based in Caesarea, about 50 miles away. As a centurion, he would have had about 100 soldiers responsible to him for performing such tasks which might have included peacekeeping. 100, hence centurion. And he's in the Roman army. And like all effective armed forces, there is a clear authority command structure. Automatic obedience is drilled into the ranks. The emperor commands, and down the ranks the order cascades, each rank underneath doing what they were told, passing the word to those below them. Now that command and obey authority structure is not one that most of us will ever have experienced. At work, the culture is different, unless you have a tyrant for a boss. We work under people whom hopefully we respect, and whose decisions we accept and go along with, and we carry out their instructions. And this is where we can make a mistake in our relationship with God. Because I think too often we make the mistake of seeing the Lord's authority like that of the boss at work. A little less direct, a little less definite model of authority than a military commander. But actually, the Lord's authority is absolute, like a military leader. Now we might flinch at the comparison between a commanding officer leading an army into battle or taking them on a route march with the God of love. Yet if we see God's authority in Jesus Christ as anything less than absolute, like a military officer, then this passage we've just heard Jackie read tells us we're in error. And in fact, if you take the passage at face value, it tells us that if we take it any less, then we're actually lacking in faith. Actually, is what the passage says. Because although the encounter between Jesus and the centurion involves an amazing healing, that's really almost incidental in the passage if you think about it. That's not the heart of the story. The heart of the story is the centurion's faith. So the next obvious question is, where's this coming from? What's going on for this man? What's he like? Well, we've got loads of details about the centurion in these 10 verses. The first thing that we learn is, unlike most occupying forces, he doesn't despise the locals he oversees. He loves them. It's absolutely remarkable. This foreigner loves and respects the Jewish people. So much so, we get this beautiful little detail that he paid for their synagogue. How far out there is that? Amazing. A Roman soldier, an outsider, would find in his heart a place for the people of Israel and for their God. But there's more. He's not just a philanthropist. He's open to learning new truth from Judaism. He even goes so far as to grasp the very center of the Jewish faith, that the one true God, the God of Israel, is the Lord of heaven and earth. He also grasps who Jesus is, but I'll come back to that. Thirdly, look at the groups of messengers he sends to Jesus Christ. The first group are Jewish elders. Jewish elders. And then he just sends friends. That's extraordinary. A man of his rank could have just sent the soldiers, sent the squaddies under him. He doesn't do that. He sends people he cares about, he respects. Jewish elders and then friends? He's way out there. And then finally, what about the person he's seeking healing for? A servant. Now, many people in authority in those days would have regarded their servants as possessions to be used, abused, and discarded at whim. Not this man. He cares for his servant. He highly values him. And if that isn't enough, we get the words of the centurion. In this account from Luke's gospel, we don't get it direct from the centurion. We get it from the centurion's friends. But they report the centurion saying this: Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus is taken aback. And different translations have extraordinary words. They say Jesus was amazed, or Jesus was surprised, or Jesus was astonished. And that should astonish us. Because the heart of the gospel is that Jesus usually is the one who is saying and doing things that astonish others. It's the others who are taken aback when they hear Jesus, not here. This is one of the very few places we read that Jesus himself is surprised, amazed, astonished. Why? It's his faith. His faith. The centurion believes that if Jesus commands something to be done, it will be. If Jesus says to the servant, be well, he will be. And the centurion's proved right. The servant is healed. Where's this faith coming from? What's been going on? Well, he must already have heard about Jesus' previous ministry in Capernaum. If you read in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 41, we had a few weeks ago, Jesus carried out healings in the synagogue. Which synagogue is this? It's most likely the one the man has paid for to be built. It's that synagogue. Most towns the size of Capernaum had one synagogue. Begs the question, did the man actually witness Jesus' ministry firsthand? Did he witness what was going on? But either way, he knows God is at work in Jesus. And he knows, like another centurion who later in Matthew's gospel at the foot of the cross declares that Jesus is the Son of God, this centurion knows that the Lord of heaven and earth is personally present and active in Jesus of Nazareth. And that knowledge carries him light years ahead of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. No wonder Jesus is left going, what? Wow. He's amazed. Why has Luke recorded this incident in the gospel? I put it to you that it's not just because it's another healing. That really isn't the heart of the story at all. I believe that when Luke put this story together, he wanted you and I to see in the centurion a model for our faith. The centurion was prepared to accept that Jesus was Lord. In Jesus was power and authority to do all that we might ask for. The centurion knew who his real Lord and Master was, and he submitted to Jesus' rule and reign in humble obedience. Wow. Wow. It's hardly a typical reading for Stewardship Sunday, is it? And yet months ago, when I was sat with Luke's Gospel, and I was praying over what were we going to do where, what were we going to do where. Stewardship Sunday is always one of those ones of what do we do. So no, you haven't had the widow's mite, passage like that. You've had something very different. I felt compelled to use this passage, and let me tell you why. The last 18 months have been a nightmare in so many ways. It's been really tough for all of us, and some more so than others. The pandemic has destroyed, damaged, affected so many lives. As minister here at St. Mark's, I have wrestled in prayer again and again. How do you lead and steer a community in times like this? I don't know. I stop and I wait and I seek God. I genuinely don't know. Nobody prepares any of us for any of this. But I do believe God has led us. In the first wave, there was the community initiative with the phone lines. And it was wonderful to see people responding to the request that came in. Subsequently, we reopened church for prayer and for services with live streaming. And I praise God for Rod, who really kicked that going, and for all of those he's trained in this ministry. Bless you, Robert, for continuing that this morning, for those of you watching at home. And through the dark days at the start of this year, still ministry continued within this church and outside through physical services and through the wonders of fellowship being live streamed and on Zoom. Why did we not shut? I'll tell you why we didn't shut. It's because I have been stirred by stories of communities of faith who through the ages have worshipped Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master through famine, through plague, through persecution, through war. The bottom line for me has been Jesus is Lord and Master and I must remain faithful, period. That's why we've kept going. And I recognize not everybody could come. I know that. But that's why I kept going. Because when I'm told that the church can be open, can I bring myself to shut it of my decision? That's my choice with the support of the leadership team. But no, I couldn't. So how does the centurion fit in? The centurion in today's reading is serving in a really tough time. We might be very familiar with the gospel reading, but it's a tough time. He is a foreigner in an occupied territory. Many will have hated him just for that uniform. They see it, they hate it. He's a Roman invader. Yet that man served and loved the local people, even though, if you like, as the Bible would have put it, he was an alien. He had chosen to invest all he had in his vocation. And he chose to serve God with every fiber of his being. And as he did so, he came to love and serve the Lord of heaven and earth with a faith even Jesus hadn't seen previously. He was committed to serving his local community under the lordship of Jesus and to do everything he could to further that. And that's why you've had that reading this morning. Because I feel that the Lord is calling you and I to do likewise, to be committed in our service to the community under the lordship of Jesus. So whether you're currently parked here in the building, or whether you're watching at home through the live stream, or whether you're watching it later in the day, I'm going to ask you today, time and again, to prayerfully consider where and how is God calling you today to serve him now. My friends, what has been, it's gone. It's gone. We're in a new place. We have to serve him now, at this moment, in what is right now. If you're visiting us today, firstly, I want to apologize to you. I'm sorry that you've picked the day to visit that is Stewardship Sunday, where inevitably my focus is more inward and speaking to those who are committed members of St. Mark's. I'm sorry if some of what I'm going to say doesn't directly connect with you, but can I ask you, if you're visiting today, please, please, as you hear our vision, pray for us. Pray for us at St. Mark's. Uphold us in your prayers. And if you feel that you're called to join this community here, we'd love to have you. So, let's look out. That photo, that aerial photo, was taken a couple of weeks ago. Things have moved on a little bit more, but it gives you an idea of what's going on. For years, I've referred to the new housing coming to the north of the A264. And for a long time, the project seemed stalled. Indeed, the developers changed. They moved from Liberty to L&G. But now, it's full steam ahead. And you can see it. I was with the head teacher of Beauhunt this week. Absolutely definite. Beauhunt will open up there, January 2022. First houses on site will be built and possibly even occupied by April, May, depending on how they move. There isn't any more time for pause at St. Mark's. There's no more time for pause. It's going on around us. It's time to go. The amber and pause has gone. It's time to go. We've got to be ready to welcome those who arrive in our community of Holbrook. It is our calling to bring the good news of Jesus to those who will be our neighbours in this parish. Those already here who do not know the good news need to hear it. And those who will arrive in new into those new houses, they need to hear it. And we'll need to be committed and faithful, trusting like the centurion in the sovereignty of God. We need to lay ourselves at the Lord's disposal. Now, you'll have heard me say it before. The long-term plan is to establish a worshipping community in the new development. But to get there starts now. It really does start now. And I know prayer's been going for some while, but now is a call to action. We're going to need volunteers. We're going to need money. Can I tell you, bluntly, the work that is coming across, I can't do. Okay? I've been working flat out for 18 months, and I don't need your sympathy. I do need your prayers. But I do what I do because I love what I do, but I know what I can do and I know what I can't. It is not possible for me to take on the additional work. It is my fervent desire and that of the PCC to seek additional ministerial support for the work that will take place north of the A264. But that isn't going to come cheap. In simple terms, if we're going to have the extra support for, say, the next 5 years, we will need to increase our total level of giving by around £15,000. It equates to a 9% increase. Now, I'm standing here as someone who, if you've heard my stewardship talks over the last few years, I haven't actually asked for any money in about 4 or 5 years. I actually haven't. I've asked for volunteers, and trust me, I'm going to ask for volunteers again. We desperately need volunteers. But just to begin with, I'm going to focus on money. And like most ministers, I hate talking about money. Please do not see me as someone who, you know, loves doing what I'm about to do. I hate talking about money. But I've got to lay it with you straight. It is time, actually, to make a call for every single one of us. What does this look like, a 9% increase? I've spoken to Mike Parry, our treasurer, for some figures to help. And I want to emphasize that the figures that are going to go up are only cumulative totals. I know nothing, absolutely nothing, about what anybody here at St. Mark's gives. I know nothing. I know what one family gives, my family. I know what we give. I don't know anything about what anybody else gives. All I can tell you is totals. So please, can I reassure you on that? I know nothing about what any of you give. But this is what I've been given by Mike. I want to talk about these figures. How could we get to that 9% increase? If every donor currently to the church gave £8 extra per month, we'd do it. If every donor gave £8 extra a month, we'd do it. If every donor increased their giving by 9%, we'd do it. Or if 25 people who currently don't give at all gave £50 a month, we'd do it. Of course, what we need is a combination of all things. It's the truth. We know that. And I recognise in the current times, this is a big ask. There may be people who have not been able to give at all. I understand. There may well be some of you who cannot increase your level of giving. I understand. But there are others like me whose level of savings has gone up during the pandemic. My level of savings has gone up because I haven't been able to spend the money. It's gone up. Have I increased my giving? No. Is it time to increase my giving? Yes. I will be seeking to increase my giving by 9%. It's what I shall be seeking to do. I wouldn't dream of asking you to do anything I'm not prepared to do. So I want to ask you all personally to consider prayerfully what the Lord is calling you to give towards the mission and ministry of St. Mark's. We have the most extraordinary opportunity with the new housing development to bring the light and life of Christ to thousands who don't know him. You know, there's all these thousands of houses coming in, all these people. But it's only going to be possible through sacrificial giving and having feet on the ground. And if you think, gosh, it's a huge ask, here's some figures, which I hope you'll just about be able to see from the last few years, to show the increase that's gone on, often in years when I haven't even talked about money. In 2017, our income was 126,000. It's projected this year at 186. You can see the upshifts of 14%, 13%, 7 and 6. 9%, I would say to you, I think is genuinely possible through faith. I ask you to consider what it is the Lord is asking you to give. And I want to say thank you to you as a community. I'm well aware what the big picture is across the churches in our diocese. I'm well aware how giving in certain churches has gone through the floor and things are in terrible straits. That's not happened here. As a congregation, you've been incredibly faithful with your gifts to the ministry of this church. And I do not take your support for granted. And I count myself ridiculously blessed to serve in a church that is as generous as you are. So thank you for all you give. Please prayerfully consider what you can give. How can you change your gifts, start giving, etc.? Well, there's several ways. I'm going to hold up this envelope first, then I'll come back to that one. If you're here physically in the building, and if you're watching at home, I'll get to you in a minute. If you're watching, if you're here, you will have been given an envelope. In this envelope is information about how you can begin giving, change your level of giving, etc. If you complete this form, please seal it. You can then place it in the box at the back of church. It will be at the back for the next two Sundays. We will end our stewardship campaign, as it were, on the 10th of October. Alternatively, if you're watching from home, the forms are available on the website. If you go on the website like so and just scroll below that opening banner, you'll see straight underneath where it's in a box on that screen, Stewardship Sunday. And on that link, you can click and you can get the forms for volunteering. You can get the forms for finance. You've also been provided with that link, all of you, through the newsletter. So if you want to actually send a stewardship form via email, please send it to the treasurer. Send it to Mike Parry. Do not send it to the office. Your responses need to go in different directions. Your finance response, please, goes to our treasurer. That's Mike Parry. Your response with volunteering goes to the office, to Joe and to Jackie. They will sort that. And those are the two forms we're using today. If you're in the building, you'll have seen the one that's in your envelope. The other one is the one to do with volunteering. I reiterate, this stewardship campaign is literally for 2 weeks. It will close on the 10th of October. 10th of October is Harvest Sunday. What a brilliant time to actually gather in what's been given and to celebrate. And one final thing here, which I'm going to touch on. I just want to say to you that I do think we need to do this prayerfully. I don't think this can be done without thought. I think it needs time and space. And therefore, this Friday, we are asking the community of St. Mark's to engage in a day of prayer. The church will be open on the Friday morning. You can drop in, you can pray. There'll be some things about to involve you. But I recognize many of you are at work. Please, please prayerfully consider. Ask the Lord. Ask our Lord and Master what he is placing upon us at this time. But let's prayerfully consider and then respond. The form on the left is about volunteering. So let me talk about serving at church. To keep the church running over the last 18 months has been a challenge. That's probably the biggest understatement I've yet said, because not everybody can be here. I recognize that. Still some people cannot, and I understand that. Some people have moved away, and we've given thanks for their ministry. But we have much to be thankful for. We have been able to recommence youth and children's work, which I think is fabulous. We've been able to restart Holbrook Heart Cafe, and that's come back into the church. Wonderful. We've also had refreshments start again at this service. We've had our Hello Holbrook event. A huge, huge thank you to anyone who has been part of, frankly, just mucking in to play any role whatsoever to enable this to happen. And indeed, many people have taken multiple roles on to do this. Thank you, thank you. But I've got to say to you, it's unsustainable. You cannot in any church have a small number of people doing so many roles. They will just go crash. I will go crash. You'll all go crash if you're doing too much. It just doesn't work. It cannot work. We have to now expand our volunteer base. The truth is, we've done amazing things with such a small number. And when I was talking at 8:30, Mike Parry's there on the sound desk, our treasurer, doing the sound and visuals. It was a rather good illustration. But people have mucked in everywhere to do this. It's understandable that our volunteer base has shrunk over the last 18 months. Absolutely inevitable. It's true across the whole voluntary sector. But it's time now to reverse this trend. If St. Mark's is going to thrive and grow and be effective in fulfilling God's mission, we've got to have more volunteers. So, if you're able to serve in a ministry area at St. Mark's, I want to encourage you to sign up. I really, really do. There are a few of you who will not be able to, perhaps because you're not in church, you're too infirm to do so. I understand that. But I'm going to be really blunt. Most people can serve. Most of you can serve. There'll be an area where you can serve. And I'm asking you, please consider where that is, because we need you desperately. That sheet saying where you could serve gives all the big range, but I'm just going to highlight five really quickly. And even as I do it, I recognize there are others, so bear with me if you're sat there involved in a ministry area thinking, he didn't mention mine. These are the really acute ones. If we don't do kids' work, we don't have children. If we don't have children, you're virtually guaranteed never to get them back. Long-term future of the church sunk. That's why it's critical. Youth and children's work is not an addendum. It is crucial. Absolutely crucial. Around our diocese, if you look at the churches that have kids' work, they either have loads of kids or virtually none. There's nothing in between. If kids' work goes crash, the long-term decline of the church is absolutely guaranteed. It will follow. Because no family will ever come to a church without kids' work. I'm laying it on with a trowel. But I think I need to. We are so blessed to have appointed a youth and children's leader in George. Bless our PCC, who are so visionary to appoint one in the middle of lockdown. Fee did a brilliant job of beginning to get the kids' work going again. George has taken that on. Sunday morning groups have started. We've launched the Lighthouse. The team who run the Lighthouse, the monthly Wednesday Mini Marks group. You know, they're amazing. We have got some awesome, beautiful, wonderful children. We've renamed it Sparklers, Saints Ignite, Saints of Flame, Blaze. We want to see the light of Christ go whoosh in their lives. We want them to make a difference in the world. But our rotas are absolutely threadbare. They're absolutely threadbare. We are only just getting by. We desperately, desperately need volunteers. You can't have the same lovely people working in the kids' work every week. They'll get absolutely exhausted and go crash. And then the kids' work goes crash. And on it goes. This is a desperate area which we have to ensure continues. We have brilliant resources and material. We have some excellent people who are working with our kids who can support and train you. But we desperately need new volunteers. Particularly, I want to appeal to any parents here. If you have parents whose kids are in any of the groups, I would like you to consider helping out in the groups, because your kids are blessed by other people helping. And maybe parents, if you could help, that would actually free up as well. But the offer is there for every single one of you. Could you take a monthly slot with one of our young people's rotors? What a blessing to ignite and set aflame the light of Christ in children's lives so they live for Christ. From chalk to cheese, refreshments, but equally an important area of ministry. Whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's cafe praise, we need more people to serve and prepare refreshments. It's not onerous. But actually, hospitality is vital. Hospitality is one of the key values for us as a church. Refreshments alongside welcome, therefore, becomes a frontline area of ministry for our visitors. Could you volunteer to serve? We need you. We need more people to help with refreshments. Prayer ministry. Every Sunday, we want to offer prayer ministry at both the 8:30 and 10:30 services. We've had to stop it at 8:30. We don't have the volunteers. We can't do it. That pains me. I believe that Jesus' ministry was a healing as well as teaching ministry, and the two go hand in hand. But we can't put on prayer ministry at 8:30. We don't have the people. I've spoken to the 8:30 crowd, but we're struggling here. To actually get people to pray week in, week out, to have several prayers is really difficult. But I believe that God wants us to experience his love and healing, and therefore prayer ministry is central. Could you be a part of this ministry? We desperately want to hear from you. It's crucial. We need to be set free from the things that restrain us and liberated to know his love more. Music. Our music team are wonderful. I love our music team. They have done a sterling job through the months that have been. But we'd like some more musicians. Do you play an instrument? Do you sing? I love worshipping. Would you like to be a part of the music group at 10:30 or at Cafe Praise? We are short of musicians. We'd love to hear from you. What's your qualification? Don't worry, it's not grade 8, whatever it might be, cello. It is a passion for worship. Holding a note is a good tune too, mind, I should say. But if anyone is learning an instrument, or perhaps you've got a child who's learning an instrument, perhaps you haven't played for a while, perhaps there's a musical instrument in the cupboard, which you used to play a lot, could you lend us your skill and gift? God may want to fan into flame things that have been there. We'd love to hear from you. Guitarists and pianists, particularly welcome, I believe, at the minute. Oh, I've gone too far. Technical support. Hello, Mark. Mark heads up our sound desk, and it always looks very scary, does that desk. However, even the bozo like me, who is not at all technical, PowerPoint isn't technical. PowerPoint's not technical. Even me can operate that sound desk. Now, we do need some technical support. We have Peter down here on the PowerPoint. Thank you, Peter. You're just pressing a button, aren't you, to move it forward. PowerPoint requires the obedience to follow the service and press a button, next slide. But we do need more to do it. It's not scary. Is it scary, Peter? It's not scary. Thank you so much, Peter. Sound desk, yeah, I know. Sound desk and live streaming requires a little bit more in terms of skill. I know that. Bless you, Robert, today with all you're doing. And I know, Paul, thank you for all you've done with that. But you know what? You don't need to be the most greatest technical knowledge. You just need an interest and a desire. And God will help you. Gosh, if you've been around churches a lot, how many times have you volunteered in areas that aren't always a great fit, but you do it because it helps the ministry? I've done it. I've set up worship. I've plugged in leads in the past. You do what needs to be done. Gosh, that sounds really hard of me, but I'm not sure I'm going to step back from it. Sometimes we do what needs to be done. If you have got a heart for evolving that area, we'd love to hear from you. You'd love more on the sound desk, wouldn't you, Mark? And there's loads more roles. There's loads more roles. Where is God calling you to serve? I repeat, I recognize there's a few of you due to age, infirmity, or maybe the current circumstances who cannot help out in ministry areas. But I believe virtually all the rest of us can in one form or another. We have got to increase our volunteer base enormously if we're to grow and sustain ministry here to the glory of God as we serve our community. Prayerfully, please, consider the form. We don't want you signing up for 500 jobs. It doesn't help. Where is God encouraging you to sign up? What's being highlighted for you? Where is God saying you can use your gifts and skills here? Return your forms, if you wish, physically to the box at the back by Sunday the 10th, or complete the form online, email it. Let me wrap up. These are challenging times. But you know what? It's easy to be distracted. Whether you've suddenly felt like you need to rush out to a petrol garage, and no doubt some of us have. But you know what? It only needs a headline. We're running out of fuel. We're running out of meat. We're running out of gas. The country goes loopy and headless. Any surprise? If I was relying on this government for my purpose in life, you get what I'm saying. And that's not being overly critical. How can they answer all the issues that are intractable? But I know somewhere where you find answers and hope. The Roman centurion served in ridiculously challenging times. Harder than now, I believe. His faith astounded Jesus. And our challenge as church and individuals is like him, to place our lives firmly at the disposal of our Lord and Master. Because only there are you going to find assurance. Only there are you going to find purpose. Only there will we experience wonders beyond imagining. And actually, I'm really excited about what's coming. Yes, I've painted what we need. But my experience is that God never leaves me short. And I believe that it has always been God's purpose to work through a church that should have been closed after the Second World War, that never should have been reopened after that time. It was a grain store for most of the Second World War, was the old St. Mark's. But we're still here. And the mission is there, and it's exciting. My friends, can we join together in faith to serve the mission of God? May we seek Christ. May we love him. May we serve him. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you that you always equip those you call. You've called us to be those who are part of the harvest field. Lord, we ask that you would reveal to us where you want us to serve. And I pray then we may be faithful in the money that we have and in the talents that we have to lay them at your disposal. In Jesus' name. Amen.